Flaming at the station. Welcome to the station, the Babylon 5 podcast. Welcome to the station. We are here again
with episode number 4. This is Mitch.
This is Steve. Welcome, everyone.
And this is one of the most critically reviled episodes of the series, if not of every series.
Oh, yeah.
But we decided we're going to be positive. We decided we're going to come up with every positive thing we can possibly think of about this episode.
We put so much thought and so much heart into this.
Hours.
And, you know, I have just a whole stack of wonderful things to say about the episode Infection.
And here's everything we can possibly think of that's positive about this episode. Okay, Infection was the first episode that was filmed, first episode written, and it was so bad.
I really think that Joe was
high,
drunk the night before and came in like super, super hungover and just like picked up some grip tech off the set to direct it. I don't know, is that a word, grip tech?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Just some random dude off the set. Okay, you're going to direct this episode. I did write a better episode, but I'm just going to throw this piece of crap out there. And that's what we're going to start off with. We're going to hit the ground crawling.
Yeah. Okay, Infection, the basic plot is some dude has been scavenging on some alien planet. He finds some technology, brings it on the station, and it goes boom. Okay, you've got your plot right there.
Yeah, it's – okay, there are some things about this that could have made it a cool episode, all right? The introduction of organic technology, which is something that, you know, obviously for those of you who are as familiar with – well, anybody who would be listening to this ought to be familiar enough with Babylon 5 to realize that a huge part of the storyline involves ancient races and their use of organic technology. So here in this episode, we actually have the first introduction of this kind of stuff.
And also the first introduction of the phrase, 1,000 years ago.
Exactly. You know, Babylon 5 drinking game. Every time somebody mentions 1,000 years ago, take a shot. You will be dead after about 3 episodes.
And anytime it's someone other than Delenn, take 2.
Well, yeah, because when Delenn uses the phrase 1,000 years ago, it always spills into some giant dramatic Delenn Joe Straczynski soliloquy speech.
Mm-hmm.
And those are fun, but, you know, they're a little long-winded.
Yeah, I'm going to get into a few little notes that I have about this episode and questions. First one, the customs guard asks, are there any non-sentient pets to declare? What?
I noticed that and I was actually trying to think, you know.
This is something that's never referenced again, but they have sentient pets in 2258. And does the Psi-Corps know?
I'm not sure what you mean by sentient.
They can think. Remember, Data has sentience. He's proven that.
No, I understand that, but my cat can think. The way she formulates plots to piss me off. I mean, come on. Really. But when I heard non-sentient pets, I actually was like, what? Do they have a pet algae?
Well, apparently the pet rock is still very much alive.
Oh, well, yeah, because they can mine it off of the asteroids now.
They got that idea right out of Galaxy Quest.
You know, I always thought that Alan Rickman should have had a part somewhere in Babylon 5.
Absolutely.
He's just too awesome not to, but he didn't make the cut.
Okay, Marshall Teague plays Nelson here. It's the only time in the Babylon 5 series proper that he plays a human.
Yes.
He does play a human again in Crusade, but that's a different series.
Right.
He's mostly known for playing T'Lon.
Yeah, the Narn war hero that actually comes more to bear in season 2.
That actually wasn't even supposed to be.
Well, Marshall Teague, you know,
he's made of awesome.
We're yes, and I've been using that phrase a lot. All right, okay. Remember how we said that we're gonna have like prizes if you can guess the phrase? And last time it was guano crazy. Well, made of awesome is this episode's catchphrase.
Yes, and the prize, if you remember all of these, is Steve's voice on your answering machine.
Exactly. over and over and over again.
If no one had heard of IPX, how exactly did Anna Sheridan get a job with them?
Very big plot hole right there. And, you know, the IPX is, you know, it's referenced increasingly and with more solidarity as the series – or as, rather as the season progresses. But in this episode, it's basically made to look like a front company that no one's ever heard of that's only being used as a front for some government-operated bioweapons division of some kind. So, you know, it's meant to look all shady and everything.
And by the time we get to Third Space, it's a corporation with, like, 12 worlds and all kinds of
– Third Space, by the way, being one of the movies that came out years down the line. But, yeah, basically what we're setting up here is that, you know, these are all really just – loose ideas floating around that Joe hasn't figured out exactly what he's going to do with them yet, and then just the continuity just falls completely apart in this episode.
You mean like the two casts?
Yeah, two casts.
Of Minbari. The first time we are introduced to the multicast system of Minbari, it's because Lanier says there are two casts of Minbari.
When does he say this?
First time he mentions it. It's not in this episode because he's not here yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, the first time the caste system is mentioned, it's two castes, and then suddenly, no, it's three. It's warrior and priest and all that. Okay.
Okay. We're going to have to cut some of that out because I was just babbling incoherently, and it's not going to sound very good.
Oh, they don't care.
Oh, well, I do. I care about my audience.
Okay. I'm going to say this now.
Okay.
I don't like Dr. Franklin.
You know,
he's pompous. He's self-righteous. He never sees anything from anyone else's point of view except his own.
And he justifies it with the ever so glorious catchphrase, "I'm a doctor."
Exactly.
It's just, okay, this...
He's always right, and he's got a major stick up his ass.
Yeah.
It's hinted at here and there and becomes a bigger issue in Believers, then continues right on through the episode Walkabout.
His moral self-righteousness really comes to the surface here, you know, and it's just – yeah, this episode's poorly written, but, you know, there's something about Franklin, you know, and you know, Richard Biggs, rest in peace.
Oh, I love Richard. I love the actor. It's the character.
I really think that Joe is gifted at writing characters that you're just not going to like, but, you know, this one – I don't know. He's part of the family. He's part of the Babylon 5 family. You can't really live without the guy. But, you know, he's there to be the self-indulgent moral compass of the cast.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
And I just get sick of it. I really do.
Yeah, it's after the episode Walkabout, which is several seasons down the road, that he finally becomes a character that I don't want to bitch slap every time he appears on screen. And then by the time we get to Sleeping in Light, it's just like, oh, my God, it's Dr. Franklin.
Yeah.
On another track, I love the idea that Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek is still alive and well in the year 2258. And I say this because Sinclair is obviously a fan of Captain Kirk.
How's this?
He talks the rubber suit down in a way that would make Kirk proud and make any computer explode. He uses talking logic.
Yes. And, you know, okay, just let's back up a second. This alien technology takes over Marshall Teague's character, Nelson. And, you know, basically it assimilates him into this...
Icarus!
Yeah, this big monster that's supposed to be like a organic weapon that was created to... you know, to ward off invasion. Because this race, the Icarans, had been invaded and invaded and invaded. So they decided they're going to go and they're going to build this organic technology that's going to assimilate life forms and turn them into the perfect weapon, the perfect soldier that's going to just eradicate anything that could be perceived as a threat to their sovereignty, their home world, their race. And, you know, okay, Joe has a very recognizable philosophy that comes out in his writing. And it's great. You know, it's really cool. It's based on a lot of other really familiar philosophies. And, you know, the way that he portrays it and expresses what he feels is really cool. And that is trying to shine through a little bit in this episode. But what happens is that, I don't know, I'm running out of gas with this because it's just, there's just so much that didn't work with this. Anyway, so we've got this monster running around, randomly killing people, and saying, "Protect," every time he's about to shoot someone in the face with his arm. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cheesy. Then, you know, Sinclair wanders in, and, you know, it's just the way it's constructed, it's like just through a series of what seems like stupidly lucky guesses, they figure out exactly what's going on, exactly how the technology works, exactly how to stop it.
Yeah.
It's not a believable storyline in the slightest.
I keep going back to the whole first thing. It seems like it took an entire script for Joe to find his characters again, to find their fingerprints. What he had in The Gathering and then what he had in this, the characters are nothing alike. And it's not until his next episode where he finally gets it and everything snaps into place. Fortunately, it was just one episode. Yeah. Otherwise, we may not have had five seasons.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to point out is they desperately need new scales on Babylon 5. Every time there's an energy reading, it's always off the scale. Why don't they update the scale already?
Oh. Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
I have. It's right off the scale. Well, you just have an upgrade at the end of season two? Doesn't matter. It's off the scale.
That's right.
Okay. And the final analysis, okay, you know, we kind of went a little – we unraveled in this episode because we're trying to talk about the way that these episodes make us feel and what they mean to us and – You know, I hate to slam this one so hard. I really do because, God, I love this series. But, Joe, what was going on? What was going on in your mind? What were you thinking? This episode sucked. It sucked. All right? It sucked. In the final analysis, it was a worthy idea. It provided a vehicle for Joe's signature philosophies, like I mentioned. But it was written, performed, and executed very, very poorly. And I've heard it said before, you know, in art, in music, in whatever, that an idea, an artistic idea, creative idea, can be lost in its own conveyance. This case in point. That's all I got.
Yep.
I'm happily, well, are we about ready to be done with this one?
Yeah, okay. The cast and crew. Joe wrote this episode. It was directed by the comparable Richard Compton. David McCallum played Dr. Vance Hendricks. David also plays Ducky on NCIS. He was in an episode of Joe's series called Jeremiah playing Clarence. He was Dr. Weston in the Invisible Man series. He was also in Man from U.N.C.L.E., Outer Limits, and about 1,000 other shows. Marshall Teague, who we know as Nelson and later as Talon, is also a series regular in some show called American Heiress, airing on My Network TV. I've never heard of it. He was a regular on Walker, Texas Ranger, which Joe was also connected with. He was in Crusade's episode The Long Road as Captain Daniels, and he did an episode of Stargate SG-1 as Colonel Frank Cromwell. Patricia Healy does one of two episodes here as Mary Ann Kramer. She is the ISN reporter who comes in and is basically, well, a hoe.
Oh, my God.
This role was originally...
I don't know. Okay. When you have this on storyboard, and you watch this woman walk in... How do they write this down?
If this leaves a yellow waxy buildup on anything.
Oh, my God. She walks in and you're just like, what does she have to do with anything? How does this character fit into anything?
She's pretty much Naomi from Mama's Family. She was supposed to be a regular recurring with her as an ongoing interfering sex pot. But fortunately, they dropped her. And she has not had – the actress has not had a credited role since 2001's Seventh Heaven. Mm. So – and it's not the actress. I've seen her in other things and she's perfectly fine. But the character just did not work.
Oh, no. Okay. You know what? We're going to have to just go ahead and wrap this one up because this is supposed to be us talking about how much we love Babylon 5 and, you know – we had to do this because we're not going to skip a single episode. We're going to get through all of them. That includes Infection. And as of now,
we're done. This is Mitch on the station.
This is Steve on the station.
And we're out.
Bye.
Infestation podcast was recorded and produced and edited by Jeff Fair at Infinite Productions in 2009.
Very nice.
The station.